to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Brown Weber on the board. Mr. Frank Fahey with us. S&P futures down 18 and a quarter. Dow futures down 195. NASDAQ futures down 48. And I'm going to say, Frank, that Mr. Weber and I both have very interesting stories from the weekend. world we in is a tough world right now. How are you?
Good, good.
Maddie's got an interesting story about something. I have several. and Frank, because Frank refuses to go out anymore, he left me
alone. I go out a lot. I just don't hang around with people I don't want to hang around with.
Well, okay.
I'll hang around with you.
Well, I could have used you Saturday night. Audrey and I had to
put my life at risk. Come on.
Oh, God. Even Robert.
The first thing I would do to those people is explain to them what freedom of speech is, what the First Amendment is,
yes,
which it prohibits government censorship and protects private censorship.
Right now, you're seeing it all go the other way. The censorship from the left is pretty dramatic.
Right, it doesn't affect anybody's First Amendment rights.
I have a quick story about some lady we'll go nameless, but who anybody who's been listening to the show loves. A few of us from the show went out yesterday. Actually, met in the middle in Michigan City. We had Kevin there and Jan Flanagan, and actually Robert, my friend from the Fed, was there. And anyway, a nice time. And anyway, this young lady says to me that she used to work in the industry, the hospitality industry. She's a waitress, basically. And there's a group on Facebook that is, what would you call that, Maddie? They're, I don't know how those even work because I've never been on Facebook, but evidently there's a group there. So she asks, as her birthday was a week ago, if anybody knew a place that was open, meaning like had the tent set up and all the other stuff, so she could have a few people for her birthday party. She ends up getting about hundreds of incredibly hateful stuff about, you don't care about COVID. You're trying to find places that are open illegally, and you should be this shot. Just really screwed up stuff, firing at her, like hundreds of people. And then the guy who runs the group, for whatever group this is, boots her out.
That's right. And that thing is right. It is his right.
How does he get to boot somebody out of a Facebook group?
What?
How does somebody get to boot somebody out of, well, you actually boot somebody out of a group, but how do you get to be a the chairman of one of these groups?
So
you create a group, and you have the right. I boot people out of a group that I'm de facto chairman on something that's, or manager on something that's 12 years old. And we'll discuss it offline.
I can only imagine what this group could be.
I didn't start it, and somebody made me a co-whatever and died. And I said, hey, I don't want to be on this. And they said, you should be the person to enforce the standards because you don't know anybody and you don't care.
Is this a group of people who like to watch birds that birds don't like, or what?
No. I'll tell you offline.
Oh, God.
But essentially, that's how it works, Chief. Anyone can start a group, and it can be a group with you and two other people. It can be a group with you and hundreds of people. You can invite anyone you want to it, and then they can choose to accept or to not accept. And then, you know, your group can, like I said, can be big or small. The topics can be whatever, and then anyone can post in the group, and no one outside the group can see what happens inside the group. It's
and you can block.
And you can block, right. So it's a little private
right,
thing.
So you'll get hit with spam constantly. People trying to sell stuff, or people trying to start fights on a board. It's amazing, the fights on board.
Well,
like, for example, in your woman friend's situation, I would have gotten rid of everybody that threatened violence. Gone. You're out. It's like being a bartender at a bar.
Well, so instead they booted her.
You don't know who else they booted.
They could have booted tons of people. Who knows?
I would have.
Well, I'm guessing if
Maddie
they booted,
would have.
I'm guessing if they booted her, they thought she was on the wrong side of this, so they wouldn't have booted the other people.
No, they thought she was a participant. We don't know what it is. That's what we have to be careful about.
But this is
citizens
this is,
and people right now.
Right now, it's getting to be
not to accuse people of something that they did unintentionally or didn't mean to.
The amount of mob violence. Of course, I was listening to News Radio 78, so that's where I was getting some of my stuff, and I got some from the internet. Of course, the internet's always right, but and I was listening to a couple people last night that they were hearing the same stuff. The amount of people that have been fired from their job for just attending the Trump rally, not for breaking into the Capitol or anything, is reaching ridiculous stages.
Not that much. The number of already we're talking more about people who have gotten fired than people shot by cops.
What did the other four people die from?
Well, one guy was a Capitol policeman that was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Okay.
I saw someone got
trampled. People like Mo, whatever his name is, the congressman from Texas, who says, hey, there was no violence there. People say,
there
I'm
was.
Reading right now, no violence, no vandalism, it was Antifa. So it was that guy in the horns that goes to every Trump rally is Antifa. And come on.
Does he even know what Antifa is? Does anybody even know what it is? Does that guy even know what Antifa is?
Or we just oh, yes,
I don't know what it is.
Or are we just putting a label on this stuff?
I don't even
yeah,
know what it is.
Yeah, they just put a label on it.
Well, I tell you what. Everybody.
But one guy was hit in the head by a fire extinguisher, a cop.
Well, that kind of sucks.
And it wasn't swung by another cop. You can
no.
see videos where people are swinging pipes at the policemen. You
well,
can
no,
see them
nobody,
spraying them in the face.
Well, nobody, everybody,
with their repellent. Come
whenever,
on.
Whenever anybody does something like this, and whenever there's any sort of a demonstration, whatever it is, the hardest thing to do is to keep control of the loser element of everything. And that's what was so difficult for Martin Luther King.
If you broke into the Capitol, you by definition are a loser. I'm not going to go on this false equivalency game.
What I'm saying is, when you have any kind of an action, the people who are leading the action, to discipline the losers and the people that are there for God knows what reason. I mean, the guy who had the most trouble with that and had some of the hardest thing to do was Martin Luther King, because the police were dying for a few of his people to do something out of sorts, because they were ready to do whatever they wanted to do, shoot people. But it was very hard for him, and he was a special guy, very, very well planned and everything. It was very hard for him to put 50,000 people together and not have 10 idiots in there. Right? I mean, it's not easy to do. And obviously these guys didn't.
I seem to remember a half a million people on the.
Like I said.
On the concourse there. And how many went into the Capitol?
What I'm saying is it's very hard to make sure that you don't get a couple of losers, because that's all it takes.
Well, I know that the civil rights marches were largely self-policing, much the same way our floor was self-policing.
Well, they had to be self-policing because
they did a pretty damn good job. But I didn't see anybody kick the crap out of the guy wearing the Camp Auschwitz staff. T-shirt.
Right,
and he wouldn't have made it anywhere around you or me and Maddie.
No, but my point is on this stuff is you always. I think that you always need to look at the reasons behind people are doing what they're doing, and sometimes people have sloppy demonstrations and act like morons. I mean, I think there was a lot of reasons to be concerned about Black Lives Matter when you see policemen pumping lead into people, yet. The attitude for the people who were not disciplined in that group and robbed everything. I actually heard somebody from the city say, what's the problem? Those places aren't insured. You know, come on. I mean,
it's false equivalency, Tom.
What do you mean false equivalency?
The problem now is that the president invited and cheered sedition and terrorism.
If
Lightfoot was doing it, but this is a false equivalency.
I'm not. What I'm saying is that the idea that anybody voted for Trump anywhere along the line should be like fired or something, when some people are actually putting forward. The fact is, a lot of people in this country feel, for a lot of reasons, that they are being put out.
I don't think anybody that voted for Trump should be fired. I think anybody.
I'm saying some people do.
Has picked. Well, they're wrong.
I know. I heard a story.
But let's talk about the people inside the Capitol rather than silly folks that think somebody should be fired.
What I want to talk about is how people in this country, with COVID being used as an equivalency, places being closed, things like that. I was talking to a gentleman on Friday night. I couldn't believe I heard this story because, of course, I heard bits and pieces, and I just said, wait a minute, you got to run that over for me. The guy, he's in the mortgage industry, and he says, somebody told me that somebody asked me where the best place was to get a second mortgage. It was a friend of his. So he goes, why does your dad need a second mortgage? Well, he's got this hospital bill he wants to pay. How big is the hospital bill? And he goes, it was like 80 grand. What do you have done? It was like, you know, something, I don't know what it was. It was some replacement. But it just happened to be like the same thing that this guy's dad just had done that was covered by Medicare. And they sent this guy an $80,000 bill, and his dad's bill from Medicare was 15 grand. So he calls the hospital. Of course, he probably shouldn't have done this. And he goes, I'm representing X somebody and somebody, because he had the friend of his get him the bill.
That was me who told you this story.
No, was this guy?
I did it for a quote reporter at the Exchange.
Well, you were a guy.
I had just had it.
Yeah. So how? Tell me how these people can be stealing this. This is what our society is dealt with. Now, they elected the wrong guy, Trump, to right these wrongs, but the wrongs are still there. And
what, you know what would take care of that problem immediately?
What?
Socialized medicine.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
No, it wouldn't. These people.
Wouldn't be paying $15,000. Mine was a negotiated insurance.
Frank,
price.
If it was socialized medicine, everybody would be paying $80,000. The way our government deals with these people.
Then it's not socialized medicine.
Well, my point is, there's people in this country, a huge amount of people, that are feeling wrong by what's going on. I mean, I feel wrong by what's going on in my industry, your industry. How many people
I
are
wrong? I agree.
Okay. Yet it's going on all over the place. And that's why.
They elected Trump, and then 4 years later, it's still going on.
Right.
So what is the point?
Well, the point is he didn't do a very good job.
The people doing it.
The point is he didn't do a very good job.
Don't want to have their pricing.
But it doesn't mean that we all go back to the other group and say just let it happen. But do you think for a second that Biden and Kamala Harris are going to come out after some of these companies and right any of these wrongs? I don't think that for a nanosecond.
That we know that Trump will not.
I know that it hasn't happened in my lifetime
right.
across anyone. So what does that have to do with anything?
What I'm saying is the people's dissatisfaction with our economic system is only going to grow. Is my point.
Then maybe we have to change the economic system, and at least if you want to have the right to make obscene profit, you should have some sort of corresponding responsibility.
You're never going to do that. You have to have competition.
Well, that's the basis of humankind.
No.
With every right, there's a corresponding responsibility.
You have to have some sort of competition.
Natachi writes in, Chief's moral relativism is on stunning display today.
Moral relativism.
Chief, you're really more outraged about social media drama than a violent, murderous mega mob trying to overthrow the government.
Trying to overthrow the government. They had no chance overthrowing.
Robert writes in, wrong, Chief. Now people of the right color feel like they're not being heard. That's all it is.
We'll have to have a drink with Robert, Matty.
I know for...
Well, all you got to do is watch the video. I mean, if you watched 60 Minutes last night, for God's sake, all you got to do, it's a bunch of people in Confederate flag shirts and hats and right in Auschwitz shirts and stuff like that.
Zip ties.
Breaking windows.
Now, why do you need a zip tie at a demonstration?
Yeah. Breaking windows and
says,
storming the Capitol.
We don't need zip ties. We need rope.
And Chief is on that side, I guess. I don't get it, but that's where
they're the same folks that lynched people 60, 70, 80 years ago.
I am not on that side, and I wish people would quit accusing me of that. What I said was, when I listened to...
These are the listeners that are
okay, I'm going to say
something. I'm just reading what
they're... I'm going to be pissed off for a second. To the listeners and to you two. When they had the demonstration at the University of Chicago, with all the they were, you know, it was the same time as the Black Lives Matter, but it didn't have anything to do with the Black Lives Matter. It had to do with affordable housing.
I don't remember that one. Which one was it?
There was a big demonstration at the same time as the Black Lives Matter. And so, of course, it got all the publicity. But it really was for affordable housing, okay? But it was all these African-American people, and some lady gets up, and she's, you know, got the voice going, she's pointing the fingers and stuff. So everybody is all pissed off that they're listening to this lady. And as you recall, I went to and researched this thing, and I said, listen, the underlying reasons for this demonstration are absolutely there. Doesn't mean that there weren't morons there. It wasn't mean there were people dying to get into the police lines and all other kind of idiots standing there with their phones up in the air. What I said was, here's the economic reason why this lady was right. And I went through all of that about how the price of housing has doubled in the last 20 years and people's median income is up 10%. I essentially went right through the whole thing and I said, this is why these people absolutely have a point. Whether you like them on your street or not, or whether you like the fact that they stopped the trains or whatever. The fact is, the underlying reason was correct. Now, in Washington, I dislike any of the stuff. I don't like anybody getting whacked in the head. I dislike what they did as much or more than anybody who's writing in. But what I'm saying is the underlying reasons for this are economic, and the reasons are legit. Doesn't mean that the idiots are legit who busted into the Capitol, but it's the same thing.
So if Trump would have won, they still would have been.
Why isn't our president talking about those?
He's a moron. What do you want me to tell you? He's a moron.
His job being stolen.
If Chief's right, then if Trump would have won, they still would have been there.
What I'm saying is,
because it's about the economy, and Trump's been in power for 4 years, and the Republicans were in charge of the Senate for four, and of the House for what? Two of those four.
That's right.
And nothing changed, and so if
and the COVID response,
and so if Trump would have won, according to Chief, those people still would have been there and stormed the Capitol, even if Trump would have won.
That's exactly right.
It's not. That's not right.
What
though.
I'm saying
they
is
wouldn't have been there because it's not about that. It's about they thought the election was stolen.
They think that he is the only guy that speaks out against what's happening to them. They're wrong about that. Okay, they're wrong about it. He didn't do a very good job.
They don't say anything about it.
What I'm saying is the underlying reasons for these people to like Trump are there. They're right in front of your face. They're right in front of your face. The reasons
say the same things, and we don't come up with the same conclusion.
I never once said he's the man.
Guy, Nancy Pelosi and Hanger, or Gretchen Whitmer.
When have I ever justified that?
But these people are. That's what I'm saying.
But they're idiots. What am I going to tell you?
They're wrong.
They are wrong. I would never justify busting the...
I know you would never, and you don't.
But I'm saying, look at the underlying reasons for this. The underlying reasons for... How many people didn't like the fact that Martin Luther King walked with 500,000 people into Washington? But the underlying reasons were very legit, weren't they?
What, for the people not liking
Martin Luther King? Somebody's always going to find... Even today, you'll find people say, oh, somebody demonstrated downtown... And I drive around a block.
The people at the Capitol building, and let's even forget about the people that stormed the Capitol building, okay? Let's say if there was, I don't know how many people were there. Let's say just a round number, there's 100,000 people there. Let's say what, 1,000 stormed the Capitol building. So we'll say 99% were just there to protest or whatever the hell they were doing, wave their flags. Not one of them was chanting, you know, it's the underlying reason why we're here is the economy, even though we've been in power for 4 years. It's all, the election was stolen from us, and that's what they were there for. These underlying reasons that you're talking about, they've been in power for four years.
I don't think the election was stolen.
No, but I'm saying I don't think they do. That's
I will
why
tell you
there.
This. There's an awful lot of people in this country that wouldn't hesitate
if
to
Trump
steal one.
If Trump would have won, those people wouldn't have been there.
These people...
They were not protesting the economy. They were not protesting health care.
Okay, all I'm saying is that if you listen to Newt Gingrich, of all people, he said that the Trump phenomenon is a follow-up to the Obama phenomenon.
Right, in 2016. Absolutely.
Okay, but now the people feel they're right back into God knows what. And if you listen to Dr. J, he said Obama and Biden did more for the one percenters than any other presidential group ever. Because if I could vote for them again, even though I'm Republican, I would.
I don't think they cut the corporate tax rates from, what, 35 to 21 or whatever it was.
They allowed all the regulation to go into all these industries, and all it does is favor the big people. They put us out of business on the trading floor. And now three people make all the money that 1,000 people used to make. Right?
Kevin writes in, if Trump had won, the same people who stormed the Capitol and harassed senators during the Kavanaugh hearings would have been there instead of the Trump supporters. I didn't remember the Capitol building getting stormed. Did it?
No, but they had a bunch of people outside.
No, they were at the bottom of the steps.
Yeah.
Okay, they didn't break in and kill people.
Anybody who ever thinks that I
take push a crap in the rotunda.
All I'm saying
no,
is you have to look at the root cause of these things. I mean, look at the root cause of our revolution. Allegedly was taxation. I'm thinking my history tells me that we were taxed less than the British taxed themselves.
Robert says, "What are you talking about, Chief? It was about some sort of stolen election. You are changing the narrative."
These things are never about. Usually never about the surface thing. Ask Robert if he believes that World War I was caused by Archduke Ferdinand getting killed and nobody gave a crap about. Am I right?
Well, yeah, but ask the Habsburgs if they think it was, and it was. It's about Serbian independence.
They didn't even like the guy.
It was.
What I'm saying is we have an awful lot of problems in this country, and the last thing we need is the focus in. Trump's going to be gone in 9 days. Let him go. Forget him. Let's figure out how to get people.
He's still doing stuff. It's not as if he's not still he's issuing executive orders, Tom.
Yeah, I didn't hear of any yesterday. Did you?
Actually, there was. I'll have to look it up. But yes, I did hear of one.
Well, by the time we're done
the weekend, there was something about mining.
By the time
we're also opening up drilling to more people.
By the time we're done fighting about this stuff, he's going to be gone.
Well, you got to keep up the fight. At least it may temper whatever decisions he may make, given his current unlimited power.
I never wanted the guy in there in the first place. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I know that.
But I'm just saying that we have all kinds of issues in this country, and the more we fight about this kind of stuff, we never address them. My final word on it.
Okay.
I mean, what?
So let's talk about how the Bears suck.
Hey, how come I couldn't get the other games on radio yesterday? Did when Westwood won, when the Bears were on, we don't care about any other games? Evidently not.
Yeah, I think 670 The Score is the only station in Chicago that has the Westwood One contract that carries the national games, you know, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, that type of thing. But in a Bears playoff game, the ratings for them are better by just doing a long 6-hour type pregame and postgame show and having callers call in and bitch about the Bears
than to
play that game. And so that you're out of luck if you wanted to listen to the other games.
But the Irish are on Westwood One, and they're on 1000. They're on ESPN. But Westwood One go to different places for different events.
I think you can contract different tiers of what you want to carry with them.
It's so, like a la carte ordering on your cable.
Right.
Well, Colin was all over the Bills, and they didn't cover.
All right, and he was devastated. I mean, they were up 24-10 in the fourth quarter, and just needed to cover 6.5. And then the Colts stormed back and had a chance to tie that game. Some really questionable clock management at the end by them, but they had a legit shot to send that to overtime and came up 3 points short.
Yeah,
there were some questionable calls in that game too.
These coaches, oh my God! I mean, I'm not going to claim to be anywhere near as smart as them when it comes to X's and O's and strategy and things like that. But simple game management that the average fan, I mean, the decision, you know, by Tennessee. Yesterday, I'm watching that game. They're down 4, 17-13. They have the ball at the 40-yard line. It's 4th-and-2. You have the best running back in the NFL over the last 10 years, Derrick Henry, who's rushed for 2,000 yards back-to-back seasons. 4th-and-2, you're down by 4 with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter or 10 minutes to go, something like that. They punt. Instead of going for it, the punt, of course, goes like 25 yards. So they gain 25 yards of field position. And Baltimore goes down the field and scores, takes a ton of time off the clock, goes down and scores, and I'm just like, man, like, what are you? And so, sure enough, someone tweets out that of all the punts in the last 20 years, they rank them based on, you know, the analytics and whatever, and they said it was the most cowardly punt of the last 20 years in the NFL to punt in that situation.
Where is the whenever you hear these guys now, they're saying the analytics are always saying you should go for it, like 4th-and-1. Where does that break down? Is it 2 or 3 or 4? I mean, where does it?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's yards to go. There's score. There's place on the field. Obviously time in the game, et cetera. It all factors in. And I don't necessarily think you have to go by that 100% of the time. I mean, there is a certain feel to a game when you kind of know sometimes it's easier to get 2 yards and sometimes it's really hard to get 2 yards. But that was puzzling. And then last night, I didn't watch the whole game, but, very simply, you know, Pittsburgh goes in and scores and is down 13 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and they kick the extra point when going for two puts you within a touchdown and a field goal, you know, factoring in a two-point conversion. Kicking the extra point, you're still down two touchdowns.
Well, they went
like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, wait a minute, they went for two.
And
they went for two after that, and they missed it.
And they missed it, right? But you have to try to cut it to 11. I mean, because then
especially against the defense, it's back on their heel,
right? But you want to cut it within a touchdown and a field goal, not two touchdowns. If you can, if you don't get it, you still got to go two touchdowns anyway. But kicking the extra point, it didn't do you any good there.
Well, who was the team that lined up for the extra point, and there was a penalty? So on the other team, so they got half the distance, then they went for two and didn't get it. What game was that? It was on Saturday.
Oh,
that was weird.
Good question.
There was a lot of just weird things that, and the Colts going for two like all the time. I don't get that either.
Some analytics tell you you should do that.
I know, and that's where I personally am sort of my football sensibilities are offended by that because I'm like,
well, what's the
because now you're creating a two-score game.
What's the percentage of extra points now that are made from the new distance?
Well, it was really bad the first year of the new distance, but now it seems like it's gotten better, or at least a little bit
better. Kickers are so good now.
Yeah, but it's definitely not as good as it once was when you were kicking from the two-yard line.
So, I mean, is it 85%?
Field goal kickers made 28 in a row.
Yeah.
You didn't have a guy who could make two in a row.
I know.
Before.
The Bears field goal kicker had an awesome season.
Do you believe the two that I saw this weekend hit the upright and went through? Where the Bear guy never had that luck.
I know.
So, right. So if there's, real quick, just so I can, if are 85% of the extra points made?
I'll have to look it up, but that would be a good guess. I would say.
All right. So if you score on the 2 points,
and 2 points they say are around 50%.
Well, then you're probably better. But then again, the Bear offensive line is not going to be 50%. It's got to be somebody who's got a good offensive line.
That could
line.
Be. They just say across the league, it's about 50%.
Well, if you got the good old line, then you're you can throw. If you don't, then they just cover everybody. You can't go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a good old line, you aren't scoring touchdowns. The Bears proved that.
Yeah. the guys last night after I was listening to them on the way back, we were coming back from Indiana. I was like, God, they got so many holes, it's hard to know where to start.
And yet, you know, that game could have played out very differently.
Yes.
For anyone that watched it, I mean, obviously the touchdown drop was just unbelievable. Then you have a first and goal situation, that Komet taunting penalty in a playoff game. I've never seen anything like that.
No, me neither.
And that was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. He threw the ball to the ref.
Yeah, and lobbed it. Like, wasn't even like he threw it at, I mean, he like literally just flicked the ball up to the ref. That was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. So you potentially take 14 points off the board there by a drop and then just a really questionable call. Not that the Bears 100% would have scored a touchdown in that second example, but they very easily could have.
They would have scored a field goal.
And they did end up kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
But either way, like, that game could have played out much differently. And then you have the interception that gets overturned because the tip of the ball hits the field. I mean, that's a 50-50 call. There's just a lot of weird things. Saints are the better team. I'm not saying the Bears deserved to win. They definitely didn't. The Bears are awful. But that game still could have played out differently.
Well, I'll give you one comment, Manny and Frank, and I will send you on your way. Back to wherever you go. Anyway, the Bears beat, was it the Redskins? Well, back when they were the Redskins. 73 to zip in some playoff game like years and years ago. And evidently on the first play of the game, the Skins had the ball or the first drive and somebody drops one in the end zone. So the reporter says to the guy, if he hadn't dropped one in the end zone, would the score have been different? Guess what the answer was?
Yeah, it'd be 73-7.
So it was 73-6. So I don't know if the Bears would have.
I'm not saying the Bears would have won, but just by the simple math, they scored 9. If you add 11, you know, that field goal should have been a touchdown, and then the other touchdown. Then you're at 20. You lost 21-9. By that logic, you'd lose 21-20. That's a different game.
Yeah, well, the guy who was making this story after the Bear game wasn't Olin Kreutz, was one of those guys, basically said that after he dropped the pass, the next six times they didn't get a first down or something. And I'm like, okay, now if he would have caught it, how is that going to change, type of thing? But maybe it would have.
They only had three first downs six first downs before the final drive.
It was awful.
All right, Frank, thanks very much, buddy. SP Futures down 21. SP Futures down 70. Give him back a little bit of Friday. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. It's from Matt Weber. The feisty show going this morning. Everybody's on me. As I was with a bunch of right-wingers on Friday night or Saturday night, and everybody's now accusing me of going to the right. They didn't think I was on the right, Mitty. Not at all.
They welcomed you home.
No, they did not. No, they did not. I was the outlier in that bar. Let's put it that way. SP Futures up. I'm sorry, down 22. NASDAQ Futures down 69.
That is good, though. If you, no matter what group you're in, you piss everybody off.
It's lonely in the middle, I'll tell you. Dow Futures down 224, and of course, some of these guys were justifying the capital thing. Not violence, but whatever. I'll talk about that in a second. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 96.7%, FTSE down 36.5. So they're down, but not as violently as we are. Kekaran down 33.6%. Over in Asia, the Nikkei, I'm thinking though, the Nikkei is closed today. Shanghai is down 38, that's 1%. Hang Seng is up 30, that's 0.1%. Not sure why this Nikkei is closed, but they are. The chips review on Friday. Dow was up 56. NASDAQ was up 134. And the S&P was up 20. So despite Monday's really down day last week, we were down like 700 at one point. Came back some on Monday. We actually finished up on the week and at record levels. But now today we're heading the other way. A 10-year, 1.10. One minus 0.52. So that's come back 7 basis points. It was minus 0.59, I believe, last Monday. Japan, a positive 0.03. They don't move anywhere, those guys. Oil down 31 cents, 51.93. Brent down 63 cents, 55.36. Natural gas down 5 cents, 2.64. Gold up 9.20, 18.44, but it's nowhere near the 19-something it was like a week or so ago. Silver Halber's making a 1.2% move up 29 cents, 24.93. Copper down 6 cents, 3.61. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? Bears, dub Bears.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No major issues to report. Coming in on the Edens or Kennedy, looks like Eisenhower and Stevenson are quiet. We do have a crash on the south side, though. The Dan Ryan inbound just before 71st Street, there was a crash blocking the right lane. That's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks navigate around that. So that's our only crash on any of the area expressways this morning. Weather today, a cold day, a blustery this morning, a high of 31. Could see some sunshine this afternoon. Right now it's overcast and 23 degrees downtown with wind chills in the 11 to 12 degree range. So chilly out there. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 67. Right now it's clear and 41. In sports, the Bears season is over, losing in the wild card game at New Orleans yesterday. 21-9 was the final in that one. Bears kept the game close, down 7-3 at halftime, and down 14-3 heading into the fourth quarter. But could never get anything going on offense in spite of the defense playing pretty well, I would say, against a solid Saints offense. Bears offense was just dreadful. Mitch Trubisky, 19 of 29. He did throw a late meaningless touchdown pass, but just 199 yards. The Bears could not run the ball whatsoever. David Montgomery was shut down, 12 carries, just 31 yards. And no one else could get anything going on offense, and that was it. So the Bears, after an 8-8 regular season, lose in the first round of the playoffs. Saints, of course, will advance. Two more games yesterday. It was the Ravens beating the Titans 20-13. And the Browns upset the Steelers last night 48-37. They were up 28-0 and 35-10 at the half, and then held on to beat the Steelers 48-37 to advance in the AFC playoffs. NBA basketball, Bulls played tough against the Clippers in L.A., but came up just short, 130-127. College hoops, Illinois, number 12, the Illini, upset at home by Lowly, Maryland, 66-63. Not a good loss for Illinois. Notre Dame played well in the first half and then were blown out in the second half. They lost to number 19, Virginia Tech, 77-63. Chief.
Their game on Tuesday night got canceled. Was it, who was that against, Georgia Tech or somebody?
I did see that they had a postponement. Yeah, yeah. I think it was Georgia Tech.
So, hey, John, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. How about you?
I don't know. I'm going to be set by all sides here. But
that was entertaining radio in that last half hour.
Me fighting back. Well, there I was Saturday night on the opposite side, right? So we go to get a load of this, Matty. We decide, okay, I go out. We got to go to this place where we can watch the game, and there's a place, I'll go nameless, out in New Lenox. It's got a nice little bar. People are terrific. Food's great. And but it's, you know, it's an everyman kind of joint. So, and you can sit right there, and there's two TVs right in front of you, so it's nice, even though it's not a sports bar or anything like that. It's a neighborhood place. So we go, and of course now the bar is, you know, butt to elbow, right? And there's barely two seats. So we sit down. And, of course, you know, it's kind of a right-wing sort of a place. And the audience immediately gets into it with all these guys because they're talking. And I get drawn into the fray. And everybody's talking about, you know, the Capitol thing, right? And I, now, from our guys that are on me today, what I said to this one guy, God, was he a huge guy? Jesus, the guy was like twice the size of me. And, you know, he says, well, you know, you don't, you're on the left, but you don't seem like you're too far on the left. You know, you're like, you're okay. And I'm going, okay, fine, I'm okay. So I said to him, I said, look, you got to meet me halfway on this. I said, you know what? I do a podcast/radio show, and I've learned very early that it's not what you say, it's what people hear. And now I don't know what was in Trump's mind, although I suspect, and you know, who knows what's in his mind, but I suspect it wasn't all that positive. I said, in his mind, he may have said some stuff And, you know, people walk down the block to the Capitol, and he might have meant walk by the Capitol in his mind, and obviously they didn't walk by the Capitol. I said, but at the end of the day, there's four people dead. Whatever he said.
I think it was five.
Well, no, one guy just died yesterday, right, or the day before?
I don't know. I just...
It was only four Friday, Saturday night. So I wasn't that wrong, Manny. I think one guy died Sunday, didn't he, or something? Anyway. I said, the fact is, there was a lot of damage, and people are dead. So whatever he said, that's not... Whatever he thought he might have said, if, give him an innocent on this, which I wouldn't. I said, the fact is, people heard different. And that's unconscionable.
And they're cop killers.
Yeah, well, that's unconscionable. I said, it's whatever you thought you might have said, it would be the same as I came on here. Everybody knows that I will never give investment advice to an individual. I'll give my opinion on a stock or the money supply or things like that, which is my right to do, even as a registered person. But you'll never see me say, Joe, you should sell X, or somebody should sell something or other, because I don't know whether I might think it's too expensive, but that doesn't mean it's not going to go higher. I would never tell you. But if all of a sudden after one show, you know, 40 people, you know, bought Bitcoin 2 days ago, and all of a sudden last night the thing collapses, and if all of a sudden somebody, hey, Chief, you told me to buy Bitcoin, I'd go right over the tape and say, did I really say that? And something Trump said, whether he meant it or not, the fact is, the proof is, there's people dead and there's people, so whatever it is, it's a horrible situation. And the guy looked at me in the eye and he goes, you know, you got me there. No matter what his intentions were, it didn't work out too well, did it? I said, no, it didn't. Am I right? Now am I back on the left?
I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, Tom, because there's pretty good evidence that there wouldn't have been any of this confrontation as close to the Capitol as it, you know, transpired had demonstrators not been waved in by the Capitol Police. And there is video footage of that. Come on in. They're waving them through like a traffic cop.
How could that ever have happened?
Barrier gates that were a pretty good distance from the front steps. And there's also, you know, pretty good evidence that this thing was infiltrated by people who were there to create violence. So I'm just saying, if you take the stand that you can't summon people to a public event without taking a risk of having every crazy person there who
is the risk, right?
Put the blame on you for having called that event, and there'll never be public assemblies. There'll never be, you know, welcome home to sports teams or homecomings or anything else if you take that attitude, because any public assembly has the risk of some nutcase going off the script. And I mean, you're getting out of a crowded L train, you take your life in your hands sometimes if there's the wrong person standing next to you. So you don't ban people from riding L trains or not tell people to.
Don't say anything about L trains. Mitty Weber's got a problem with that.
Yeah, I had the wrong person stand next to me on Saturday.
Mitty had a knife pulled on him in the middle of the day on Saturday.
Well, that's my point. I have no control over that. Lightfoot doesn't have control over that. David Brown, chief of police, doesn't have control over that. But we don't tell people as a response to that the problem is in anybody riding an L train. So if you tell people you can't demonstrate, you can't appear at the Capitol because somebody might have gotten the impression from what the agenda was, that the wrong agenda, and then they hijack the thing, and all the other people there who were not there to commit violence. I'm sorry, you know, I think this was a lunatic fringe that got way too close because they either had cooperation from people who were there to make a disturbance, or it just, you know, became lost in the
shuffle.
Well,
Jan, it's always
had such a huge throng of people, but there was a huge throng of people there.
But this is human nature, John. I mean,
they had no interest in breaking down doors or glass or shooting anybody or anything like that. So you can't blame everybody, and I don't think you can blame Trump for any of it either. So I don't know about
any of it. I'd say, I mean, but he should know. And the guy's the president, right? I mean, how is it that we managed to have in college, you know, somebody's grandmother or somebody left for the week? We managed to have people over, have a poker game, drink some beers, and there was never anybody from the outside who showed up and busted up the place. Because we were careful, Jan. And yet I've seen parties that people had where their kids have. They don't even know who these people are that are showing up. They're not careful. If you're gonna have a demonstration of some kind or organize something like that, you have to be incredibly careful that you don't get the lunatic fringe and the thing turns where you do more harm than good. These people did not do themselves any good, did they? At the end of the day,
you know, I think it's the only option a lot of these people had was to go to Washington to express how desperately they felt they needed somebody like Trump in there for another 4 years, and it explains why Trump's approval ratings are up over the weekend to 51%. Now you tell me how somebody with those approval ratings, A, lost an election, and B, is being touched by any of the hysteria by Pelosi and McConnell
and all these other idiots
who think that they can just drown out Trump's opposition. This is just making Trump a bigger rally figure than ever.
That's my point. That makes
backfire on the Democrats.
It makes no sense what they're doing. But what I'm saying, and I'm having trouble communicating this, obviously, it has nothing to do. Trump is considered right now, and there's a lot more people. You know what? I would love to be the person, not that I want to be in politics, to be the anti-Washington guy. Because I think that 90% of what people think are pro-Trump is really anti-everybody else. No, how could anybody be pro-Trump? I mean, really. I mean, the guy, he's incapable of that job. He has been since day one. I mean,
right? He's no less able to do the job than how many, 35 other presidents we've had. None of these people were particularly,
Well, we had some that had a brain cell work. I mean,
but they were all political operatives. That's the one thing Trump is not, and I think that sets him apart from practically.
Well, but he's
except Reagan. I mean, Reagan is, I think, the only one I would put in Trump's column of being somewhat. But he was far more political than Trump.
Well, but plus everybody liked him. That's a problem. When you go in there to change things, if all of a sudden you're the bull in a china shop and the first thing you do is insult every newsman, well, you're not going to get any help from them, right? I mean, you need help from them, don't you?
Well, but from this news media, do you think they're ever going to be a friend of Trump?
I think that if you walked in day one and you don't walk in and say you guys are all morons and un-American, and by the way, you should be up for treason and expect them to treat you well. Come on, we're from the South Side. That doesn't happen.
Well, Tom, I want to go back to something that happened before Trump was elected, and it was when there was a rally scheduled for the UIC Pavilion here in Chicago. Remember?
I vaguely remember that.
Trump was, had just like, it was sort of, I mean, it's a small version of what he's done all over the country and what he was trying to do in Washington last Wednesday. But the rally at the UIC Pavilion was canceled after crowds had started to assemble because the Sanders people busted it up. There were all these broken windshields and damaged cars with Trump stickers out in the parking lot. There's video of people in Sanders' shirts.
Oh, there's violence on both sides.
Down people in the UIC pavilion. So it was thuggery by the Sanders people. But Sanders never was affected by any of that. I don't remember him being, called to be arrested or locked up or anything else.
The violence is
just as bad as what the, not to invoke the Nazis at the drop of a hat, but this is how the Nazis were able to get a foothold, was just by going in and busting heads.
The country right now, that's the weird part of it is, and I think I was able to communicate that some to the right guys that were the right wingers on Saturday night that I was beset by, is that the solution is not, I said to the guy, explain to me why you and I are supposed to be arguing in a bar. How many places in this country do you think the same argument's going on while 100 people are laughing at us getting rich? And the guy looked at me and said, that's about the smartest thing I've heard in the last. He goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, we're not solving anything here. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not arguing about this crap. We need to change some of this. And we're not going to change it if good people are arguing about the little stuff, which is what we're doing, Carl said it best on Friday. He said, while all this is going on, 50 firms are taking advantage of, and when it's all over, that's all you're going to see. And we've been talking about that. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we have the hospitalization stuff. We've got the Amazon. I mean, drove by last night, all those bars that are closed. Why? And why can't they be 25% open or 30% open? I mean, what are we doing here, John? I mean, we're taking out all kinds of people. The hurt in this country right now is dramatic, and we're going to fight for a week with all this stuff, with the stimulus, with all this other stuff, the COVID, and why the states aren't giving out these. I mean, why doesn't the National Guard have vaccine places. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the National Guard should go from nursing home to nursing home. Nobody else is doing it. I mean, something is wrong here, and people sense it. And I think if somebody says something's wrong, and I'm gonna be a Trump supporter because he's the only one who speaks out against it. Well, I'm gonna say he spoke out against it, but he didn't do much because he tripped over his own feet for 4 years. His production is like the quarterback saying I can throw the ball, and then he doesn't. I mean, but now we're going right back to 4 years ago when we know they didn't do anything. And so, you know, the average person is like, where are we? We're fighting over God knows what, and still we're making no progress. Look at the condition we're in compared to last year. And the solution has been the opiate of the people. It used to be, Karl Marx said, what, religion is the opiate of the people? And I've laughingly said it's not religion anymore, it's football. Well, now it's what? It's
policy.
It's money. It's money from the Federal Reserve. Do you believe that both Pelosi and McConnell's houses were vandalized, which didn't get any press? And on the doors in both places were, we need our 2,000. For God's sake, this is like Rome. Increase the dole. We're not going to work anymore. We're just going to get money from the government that they print. I mean, for God's sake, why doesn't our population know that that is no solution whatsoever? Not that everybody isn't happy to get their $600 check. They are, but they must know that this isn't solving anything.
But, you know, when people see that, you know, politicians on both sides of the aisle have done everything possible to make opening a restaurant practically a criminal act, patronizing it a criminal act, then you have nothing left to do but ask for your $2,000 and hope you can string it along long enough until something else comes down the pike. And both parties have been guilty of completely losing the whole, you know, energy behind what people are actually experiencing. None of these politicians have a clue, I don't think. Or if they do, they choose to tune it out and just determine it's not their problem. But after, you know, when we were driving around yesterday going out to Michigan City, and I mean, those areas around where we were are marginally better than they used to be, but like people in the car said, it's like the land that time forgot. And that's not the worst of what's going on. And people are completely, like, you know, dropping like flies financially.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody at the top really seems to care. And I, for better or worse, and I'm not trying to say that he's you know, entitled to any credit whatever necessarily for how anybody's situation has really improved, but you can't fault people's perceptions. Trump is the only one that has decided he's going to take on China that destroyed American jobs, and he's going to take on illegal immigration that's destroyed American jobs, and he's pushed back on Title IX, which is destroying the careers of a lot of students. And I think it's you know, people who have very, you know, whatever their view of the world is, they see him as the only hope. He's certainly not the best hope. And any, you know, other election year, he might not even be on anybody's radar or taken seriously. But look at how bad everybody else is.
Well, we have so many things that people can't. But Jen, they're complicated. These are complicated issues. I mean, when you talk about people coming from, you'll listen to some, you know, some industry guy, and he'll say, well, you know, we don't have enough good education in this country, so we need some people from overseas to make Google go or make, you know, Microsoft go or something. And you sit there and go, okay, that makes sense. He's a, you know, he's an intelligent guy, and why shouldn't we, if we were going to let people from Asia go through our schools here and blah, 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 why shouldn't we let people hire them if they're good people? Okay, fine. But now fast forward to the detail, which, of course, nobody wants to read, really. And let's put it this way. It's not like nobody wants to read it. It's because no regular people don't have time to read it, okay? I mean, it's fortunate for me that my job, my real job, dovetails with what I do for the radio show, which is to be abreast of all the stuff I can be abreast of news-wise, both for managing money for people and for doing the show. So I have complementary interests in this. But if I was still working at Pullman, how would I possibly keep track of this? And how would I know that, oh, by the way, this deal with the people from overseas, it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, Maddie probably knows this because he's closer to school age. When you bring somebody over here from China to work, say, at Google, you get a visa, and I don't know what the visa is, but you get a visa for him to come over here and work just at your place for a period of time. I mean, we're not let's put it this way: it's slavery light, right? It's not the same.
Well, it's an espionage ring.
Well, really. What I'm saying is, if you're paying that person $45,000 a year or $50,000 or whatever it is, it's probably less than you would have to pay an American guy or girl. And oh, by the way, if it is less and Microsoft says, I like that guy, I'm going to pay him $75,000, he can't go to Microsoft. He's bonded to Google, for lack of a better term, for the 6 months or year, 18 months, however long he's here. Most people don't know that. That they're all, wait a minute, here's a guy getting paid underpaid, which makes he's making less than the going rate for an American graduate or somebody who's of Asian descent that actually has become a citizen here when he's here. He can't get the job because the market price for the job is, say, 90, and they're paying the guy 45, and that guy can't go down the block and get 90 from somewhere else. So we're essentially giving Google a slave card to pick the one guy out of China, right?
Well, and it's happened across the whole employment market. It's, you know, if you can find somebody who has no documentation or 10 fake Social Security numbers, they're already compromised in such a way that you can pay them pretty much whatever you want, and they're not going to sue you, or they're not going to bring, you know, any action against you for involuntary servitude.
Right.
But we've become so enwrapped in this cheap labor thing that Google and all these other places are just doing what everybody else in the country thought was a profitable thing to do too, and hire the people with the least pushback. And the people who do have citizenship and the people who do have careers and education and credentials are getting completely frozen out. So no wonder people
think the whole thing is a sham and an
assault on their ability to hold a job.
I think it's gotten better, although I don't have any whole lot of evidence on this, but I kind of remember back in the day, if somebody had a fake Social Security number and he went to work at, you know, a restaurant downtown or someplace, he or she, if you sent the money into the government under that Social Security number, first of all, everybody's outraged that this poor guy, probably from Mexico, is here working, right, and he shouldn't be here. Well, the guy is now getting his Social Security on a fake number being sent to Washington. They're not sending the money back. They're just taking it. I read someplace that how many of the fake numbers were all zeros across. How many people had the Social Security number of zeros? The government, they just took the dough. And the chances of this guy ever getting Social Security are like zero. S&P futures now down 24. NASDAQ's come back a little bit, though. Down 82. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Just brought Weber on the board. We have Mr. John Flanagan with us. S&P Futures down 25. NASDAQ Futures down 81. $170 billion in Bitcoin equity was lost last night as the stock dropped 5,000 bucks or some 4,000 bucks. Stock, the whatever the thing is. And I, Maddie, in full disclosure, and I told you when I moved to the middle that I would piss off both sides, right? I've done that, haven't I?
Sounds like it.
But I have a, but in full disclosure, I have another reason why I just want Trump to go away next Tuesday and not be booted out beforehand. I want him to be watched, by the way. I don't want him launching any nuclear weapons, which I don't think anybody would do. Hopefully our people in the military are smarter than that. I don't really want Mike Pence to get presidential pension and Secret Service protection for the rest of his life for being there for 3 days. Is that bad of me?
No, but I've heard of worse horror stories in the teachers' unions.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Illinois, it's par for the course. But at least we don't give people Secret Service protection.
Right. True.
But then again, that's
well,
how
if
I...
If you're mayor, you know, you can get, you know, police protection for, you know, people were criticizing Rich Daley, remember?
Well, then again, last night, as we rode down to Indiana together, Jen, you were in my Secret Service Suburban that I never would have had if they didn't watch Jimmy Carter. It was a nice Southern truck, never had any problems with it, and I've had that thing for 8 years. It's the best truck I've ever owned. Secret Service knows how to order vehicles. Just saying. But no, I mean I would like to get us involved in some of this. We need to focus. Do we think some of the other a lot of what we're going on here? Do you think that what's happening economically and stuff is just above the pay grade of the average representative and senator that we have to constantly fall into this fighting pit? I don't know. I mean, it seems like we're not... I've never seen the country in this kind of mix-up in terms of economically where between the haves and the have-nots. It reminds me a lot of what I've read about in 1929, where you had an entire part of the population... was the roaring 20s, and the whole rest of the part thought it was the depression 20s. And I mean, right now, you look at these disparity numbers. I mean, when Frank told me the story about the hospital guy, all I think about the $80,000 bill that got knocked down to 15. All I was thinking about is how much money does the head of United Healthcare and Tenet Healthcare make? How many millions of dollars?
Or Blue Cross or any other.
Well, who was the, Maddie, memories better than mine. Who was the, which one of those firms got taken over a couple of years ago where the one guy ended up, he hadn't even been there that long with a $200 million exit bump because the place got taken over for X amount and he got an exit. They just hired him as a CEO and if there was a change in control, he got like $200 million or something. I mean, regular people look at this and they go, this is wrong.
And that's the same with the tech companies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the insurance companies, the banking industry, the craziness at you know, the upper earning levels of the people who run those places, how could you not be infuriated by it?
Well, I mean, if they spread some of it around.
Right, but of course they don't.
They don't. And when I don't know what happened to Henry Ford, who was not exactly a philanthropist. If you ever want to see fun pictures, he would say that he and Harvey Firestone used to go camping, Matt. Did you ever see any of these pictures? These guys are out there camping with their suits and their vests and their hats on, and they're being served by guys with like crystal out at the campfire. You know, that was their idea. Camping.
That's my idea too.
Well, now Audrey would claim if there's no place to put in the blow dryer, she still didn't want to go. But I don't think they had blow dryers back then. But even he said, I need to pay my people enough to where they can buy one of my cars.
Right. I mean, that was the simplest, you know, vision you could have as an entrepreneur, how to make the most money possible and also make people, you know, feel like they had really mastered some control over their lives by having a car that got them to places they could never have gotten to before. I think it was a masterful touch.
And yet you look at the episode in Mexico and clearly in China, to where I'm not an expert on this, and if one of the listeners want to come in and give me a help here, I think when they started building Chevy pickup trucks or whatever they build down in Mexico, the people were making $3-something an hour, right, John? And here we are, and I'm going to say that year the Chevy pickup cost $15,000, and now it's $40,000, and those guys are still making $3-something an hour. So something obviously is wrong with the economic theory when it's being controlled at government and at government levels, and why some people get this monopoly, because that's not any kind of competition. That the way it should be working, anything that I learned. Either what I learned was all wrong. But clearly, the Communist Party of China, Milton Friedman, was totally wrong. Where if you have economic freedom, you will end up with political freedom. I don't think that's happened at all. I think he was totally wrong there, don't you?
Well, certainly, looking at China, yes.
Well, Mexico, too. Where the money's staying up top, they're not getting it. You think those guys aren't making $20 an hour? Are they? There are some of those cars.
And the average person in this country, you look at what's happened to car prices in the last 15, 20 years. And of course now the trend is towards bigger cars than ever, so that sedans are becoming as scarce as horses.
You were very happy to be in a bigger car last night.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying anything against them, Tom. I'm just saying that, I think you should always have a choice. And
yes.
I don't think there's going to be too many choices. And this is why Lyft and ride sharing industries have become so popular, because they are dependable services for people who can't afford cars themselves, which is an ever increasing number proportion of the population. Even people in their young years, when they're upwardly mobile and should be able to have an apartment and pay off their student loans and have a car, the car goes out the window and they take Uber everywhere. That's, I don't think that's accidental. I think it's been carefully planned, and I think this enables, again, cars to be available to the people who can afford them, which is a smaller and smaller chunk of the people all the time. Which, the standard of living is dropping steadily. It doesn't matter right now, I don't think, who's president. It's still going to drop.
Well, that's right. And people felt wrongly that Obama was a change. And he wasn't, because he was not there long enough to be co-opted. And then when that didn't work, they went from somebody totally from the outside, and then that didn't work. So now we're left with nothing works. The Washington just keep going and doing. They become the bureaucracy in Russia. I mean, is that where we are? I think it's where we are.
Well, I think the it started with Hillary Clinton dropping her guard in 2016. And, apparently she'd been using that deplorables line in her fundraising appearances all through the summer in 2016. But the press was always excluded from them, so nobody ever even knew that she was using the word. But everybody who was already enthralled by her knew she was using it ad nauseum. The one night, I think it was September 9th, it was like 2 days before that, fiasco when she was at the 9/11 celebrations and she collapsed at her car or whatever. 2 days before that, the press was allowed into one of her rallies. And then she was quoted all over the place the next day for saying you could take all the Trump people and put them in a basket of deplorables. Well, I said to a bunch of friends at the time that day, she just lost the election. You don't go after the voters. You don't go after the people whose vote you need to be elected and castigate them and group them together. But look at what's happening now. All the people, no matter what you thought about going to the rally last week or not going, people like Pelosi and Schumer are calling the Trump people the deplorables for being behind him. It's the same thing, and it didn't work in 2016. This is no more uniting people than Hillary Clinton was able to unite people, or Obama either. So why don't these people get smart? I don't think they can afford to be smart. I think because they know they've got to get not only
John,
erase him, and they'd like to erase the people who voted for
the reason
him. What
why,
else can you think?
The reason why they're not... First of all, they're very smart in that they're in those positions and we're not. Okay, so they have an incredible skill set. Okay, but I think what happens is, and Maddie can fire at me here, they never really are out in the general public. I mean, and Maddie had an incident this weekend. He knows what's going wrong with the city. We had a knife pulled on him in the middle of the day on the Red Line.
This just happened, man.
Yeah.
This is
It was actually, yeah, so I was on the Brown Line, actually.
Okay.
And
the safer one.
Yeah, 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, and I was going up to meet some friends to watch the football game at one of the bars on Southport that has an outdoor component, and had the games on and stuff with the heaters and everything. And, yeah, middle of the afternoon, the train's about one-third full, and so there's, you know, there's seats for everyone, and you're somewhat spread out, but it's not an empty train like it is in the morning. There's actually a decent number of people on the train. And all of a sudden, a guy kind of storms in from, the doors. One of the guys that travels from train car to train car, we'll just say that. And he starts kind of like flexing up on people and trying to get people to react to him, and no one does. Of course, everyone just kind of ignores him. Then for some reason, he centers on me and gets in my face.
Were you smirking?
No, I had a mask on, first of all. So you couldn't even tell if I was smirking, but I was just trying to, like everyone else, not make eye contact. And there's like a girl sitting next to me who's like terrified and kind of looking at me.
With good reason, she's terrified.
To like step up. And I'm like, this guy weighs about 325 pounds. And sure enough, when I don't react to him flexing up at me, he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a switchblade knife, flicks the blade up. And now I'm like, all right. That's when the adrenaline starts going. And in your head, you start going, okay, I'm probably going to get cut here. I'm either going to run away from this guy while the train's going and hope that, you know, in the next 30 seconds or minute, the train door's open, I can get out of this. Or I got to charge this guy, and I can't take him down because he weighs twice as much as I do. But I could maybe, you know, slow him down, and then hopefully some of these other people will help me, although that was not guaranteed.
Oh, I would say that. I wouldn't guarantee that at all.
And especially because the people directly around me were a girl that was terrified and then two, like, 21-year-old skinny kids that weren't going to do anything. And so that was that. And then my third option was, or I can just sit here and keep ignoring and hope that he is obviously not all there, and he's going to put the knife away and leave. And sure enough, after about 15 seconds of him kind of waving the knife in my face, for some reason, me directly, he targeted, he puts it back in his pocket and then says like something like, you know, that's what I thought, now what? That's what I thought. And then he went back to the other car. So then...
I'm sure they were happy to see him come back.
Yeah, and so who knows what went on after that. But then my train stop came, and I thought about... You know, I could call the police and then maybe be stuck here for a couple hours and have to do a police report. I could just leave and not do anything, or I could just kind of mention to the CTA person at the bottom of the station, like, hey, there's a guy kind of, a crazy guy kind of waving a knife around on that train that just left the station if you want to make a call. So that's what I did, and then just kept it moving.
So if a 170-pound cop wants to arrest this guy, and he's got a switchblade, which, of course, is not legal, that would only have gone bad. And if anybody used any kind of... Now, if he was smart and called five other cops to help him, which you should do...
And you'd have to have five cops to take this guy down.
And then that's...
Not exaggerating.
That would have been, you know, you probably needed a taser or something, but...
Or a taser, yeah.
Every million different ways this could all go bad. It's the world we live in. It's pretty messed up right now.
Definitely don't expect it on the Brown Line at 2:30 in the afternoon, though, on a Saturday.
No.
But this is
so that's the L I ride 90% of the time, and I don't ride the Blue Line just because it's full of street people and people at O'Hare who are camping out overnight, and they take over whole cars. And they're not violent or anything, but it's extremely unpleasant when you got somebody setting up housekeeping in an L car. I just don't want to ride in a system where I feel like I'm getting into somebody else's space just by sitting there. So the Brown Line isn't like that, so I've tended to confine my ridership to that. That's really upsetting to hear, man.
Well, you can watch the liberal side and the right wing side all you want all day long. And this, to me, they'll talk back and forth about all these quote differences, but the similarities to me are exactly the same. All the people on both those, I won't just say stations, but stations like that, all are making, in my mind, of course, this can be said for anybody. Remember the saloon in South Bend, John? They had the poster that said, "You smear everybody else in the world is making too much money except you." Maybe is that true or what? But you see the similarities I see, and I see stuff differently. That's why I think listeners like giving me crap and they like listening. I see people that are paid way too much money, in my opinion. They're getting their hospitalization paid for and have never ridden an L in their life. So they have no idea what we're talking about. And on both sides. And yet, and on the Republican side, their economic system constantly is, give more money to big companies, they're really philanthropic at heart, and it'll trickle down to the little guy. Which is total BS, and has been for 100 years.
Even David Stockman turned his back on it, and he was the one who was really pushing it in the 80s.
So. And then on the other side, the Democrats, we're gonna help all the little people, although, the real people are going to steal 80% of the money on its way to the little people, so they won't even really get what they're supposed to, we're trying to give them. We're going to raise taxes to everybody, and all of a sudden that's not going to work either. We're not going to have the right programs to get somebody a job. We're going to put them on the dole and keep them, you know, as indentured servants for the rest of their life. I mean, we're not doing anything. All the money supposedly going to schools and everything. You look at the schools, there's no technical training. There's nothing. I mean, we listened to Kevin last night talk about all the stuff they're trying to do in Indiana to give people training for specific jobs and stuff. It doesn't mean you can't study economics or study history or anything, but, I mean, we drove by CVS last night. Is that thing even still open? I mean, so none of those people are learning anything they need to get a job. How does a pandemic stop that, John? You still need a job, don't you?
Yeah. And you know, the problem, too, is look how much we've fallen behind the rest of the world when it comes to competitiveness, just because we don't teach
right
officially. I mean, we expect people to, you know, show up in front of their computer monitor, and there's no Truant officers or any, and there's like half the number of hours every day devoted to education as when supposedly we're having face-to-face instruction. But how can you possibly expect us to be, you know, competitive in a global economy, which is always being thrown in our face? It looks like we're taking the opposite approach to this, of deciding we can't compete, and we're not even making any pretense about it anymore.
Well, Maddie, this is kind of what you're going through, not going through, because obviously you have a nice place you live, you have a terrific wife, and you got a nice job. But John was mentioning on the way down to Indiana, John, our buddy John, I'm talking about him while he's not here, he has a twin brother, and his wife who's working from home, and a kid who's studying from home, which means there's no place in the house for, like, him. You know, so one of them's got the upstairs, one of the downstairs, is if, like, if you had two kids in addition to Jill and you only had two floors, mate. Well, imagine if you're an African-American or Hispanic family with five kids and one computer and everybody's supposed to be going to school. How does that work? It doesn't. Does it? I mean, how much further behind are those people getting now? I mean, everything we think we're trying to do, we're going backwards, John, or am I just being cynical here?
Well, I mean, everybody's yelling about the science, and, you know, with the virus and everything, but people of school age are, I would say, the least vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the least, I don't think I'm making up that science. I think there's tons of it that supports me. And even the teachers, too, I don't have the idea that you can have a substitute for education by doing as little education as possible and as little interaction as possible is just, you know, crazy talk. But this is what we're settling for now, and it's going to be harder and harder to get back on track the longer we tolerate this ridiculous sham of, you know, of online education. I think it's a great tool, and I'm a believer in hybrid education, and I think it helps people who have responsibilities that prevent them from having time for every class meeting. But that doesn't mean you go whole hog to the opposite direction and pretend you're teaching people. But this is, I don't hear any outrage about that, certainly not from the teachers. And for the first time, I think, in Chicago, you're getting pushback from Janice Jackson and the Board of Education and Lightfoot. I think they realize that people are fed up with this. If you have school-age kids and you're trying to hold your life together like you were describing, you want your kids back in school ASAP, and the teachers too, or there's going to be there'll be people banging down the doors at Lightfoot's office and the Board of Education too, and you can't blame them.
Well, so Manny, sort of on the same subject, but they're always the same subject. Guess what my outrage was? Going over the Chicago Skyway toll bridge last night.
What was that?
580 for the toll.
Really?
That's a shocker.
Yeah, I mean I never take that. I take the free dangerous route. I always avoid that toll. So I didn't know that. That's
and,
a lot.
And in 2015. 2008, when I don't know when they sold the damn thing, but They were 250. Now they're 580. Now, I'm going to say if you put 2008, a dollar in the CPI indicator for 2008 and ran it forward to 2021, the number would be 28-30%. I'll check myself there to see how bad I am. So that would be, so 30% would make it, what, 3.25, and it's 580. That doesn't cut, does it?
Nope. Look at our parking deals.
Yeah.
Well, once you start outsourcing your infrastructure, you don't have a whole lot left then. You got to move people around, and you got to pay whatever that owner says you got to pay. And this is the bag we're in now. So.
But I mean, I don't think in today's world that the regular people have any real news media thing for them. They think they've got Fox, but they don't.
They don't. They don't.
I mean, we don't have, and I think a lot of that has to do with unions. For a lot of reasons, the demise of private unions. Not that it, you know, it didn't become very bureaucratic and things like that, and have their own issues. But for a lot of the things they fought for were sort of the same things that Middle America fought for. Not maybe that they actually cared about Middle America, but the fact is, you know, what I'm saying they were what they fought for, you know, were sort of the same things. Now I don't know if there's anybody fighting for them. Do you?
No. And again, I hate to keep coming back to the national stage, but when there's such disaffection, and you got one side of it stoking it, and the other side responding to that, it's a recipe for, you know, people just digging in their heels and becoming ever more disenchanted with peaceable solutions, because you're telling people pretty much there are no peaceable solutions, so shut up and get used to it. And, you know, nobody likes to hear that if you think things are getting truly desperate for
well, these are,
as it is for a lot of people.
I was wrong. Not 28 cents, 23 cents.
Well, you're in the right corner anyway.
So does anybody believe that stuff is only up 23 cents since 2008, 23%?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, that's our government telling us this stuff.
Well, the same thing with the unemployment numbers.
Yeah.
When was the last time they were dependable about telling you anything?
Well, that's right. But I mean, when are we going to? And when you get to this civil unrest, nobody hates to see civil unrest more than me, because it tends to get out of hand. People get hurt. People start hating people. People see black people, Hispanic people, white people, whatever they are. And just in today's world, where everything is about yourself, right? Oh man, it took me 5 minutes longer to get home because like some guys were like blocking the street. Okay, why are they blocking the street? It's bothering me. Whatever their issue is, they shouldn't have the right to bother me, right? How many times have you heard that in the last 2 years? Be it Black Lives Matter or whatever type of thing. But I think for something to reach the stage to where somebody actually goes out and demonstrates peaceably and goes through all that effort and puts yourself at that kind of risk with your employer and everything else, that's a big price to pay. I'm not talking about the losers that want to go loot and bust up the Capitol. I mean, because they're just losers. But the people who actually want to take the time to go to whatever rally it is and feel that way, I mean, that's a big effort on somebody's part. I'm not, again, this is the 80%
well,
of the people who actually care.
It's a big effort if you think that if somebody catches, you know, or a video of you there.
Yeah.
And post it somewhere, and you lose your livelihood over it, all the more reason why you're not going to do it. I mean, I'm a big fan of civil disobedience, and this is what really tipped the American people in favor of the civil rights movement. It was the bus boycott, which is people just not riding the bus. And finally, they had to let people sit wherever they wanted on the bus because they were losing so much money. Or it was the sit-ins at lunch counters or in public buildings or at schools, just, you know, sitting in the public thoroughfare and making them arrest you or get the fire hoses or the dogs against you. And people were horrified to see people being treated that way for doing nothing other than just standing someplace or singing or
right.
Whatever. And once you make that dangerous for people, such that, you know, you're going to be doxxed and humiliated by the people who have the power to do that, and if who has the power to do that, you can see, is very manipulated and a very exclusive group of people, you're going to have no opportunity for civil disobedience either. So what do you do then? Violently revolt when there's no stakes worth worrying about anymore?
Well, it's a pretty desperate...
Your back is up against the wall to begin with, so why stop anywhere? This is kind of what we're encouraging people to do.
Well, we are. But you have... this constant, I mean, where the vehicle we rode in last night, I bought that in Grand Rapids. And I've said this before, and I talked to the used car guy forever. And basically, the people in Grand Rapids used to make $30, $32 an hour in 2007, 2008. All those places left, went to China, maybe earlier than that, and now they make $22 an hour. Okay, that's a tremendous difference in your community. And if all of a sudden... everything around you starts rocketing up in price and people lie about it. I mean, you feel like you are no longer have the power that you did years ago. I mean, at Pullman, guys were making, you know, 18 bucks, 16 bucks an hour back in those days. So that's 30 grand a year or 25 back when a car was four.
Life. Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I mean, they lived in a house. Wasn't, you know, the Taj Mahal, but they lived in a house. They had the bass boat, not a yacht. They were able to bowl and play softball at night, take a vacation once a year, and the kids went to school. Notre Dame was $3,000, for God's sake, $4,000. Now the same guy's making 35, right? And the Notre Dame education's 70. The car's 35. The house is 300. How's he doing? Not so hot. I mean, not even close to not so hot. Am I right? I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling. And yet you have all...
If you give up your car, you're getting knives pulled on you on the CTA.
Yeah, in the middle of the day. You know, and...
Where do you go?
But, I mean, but you also have... The reason why you've got homeless people on the CTA is because you've got homeless people. When I first came down to the trading floor in 1980-81, everybody... God, this is going to sound so awful. All the traders... Maddie, is this politically correct? Everybody essentially had their bum, is it, for lack of a better term. And there were a bunch of old guys, I don't know if they were Vietnam, whatever they were. There were people that had hung around downtown and were, you know, essentially panhandling. I'd say the average age was well into the 50s and 60s. And there were 10, 15 guys that lived in those flop houses over on State Street, right? Maybe 20 guys. And everybody, there was one on every corner, and everybody had their favorite bum they'd give, you know, $5 for before they went to the trading floor for luck type of thing. And but now, you go underneath these bridges, these people are in their 20s. There's couples. There's people with their dogs.
Kids.
There's people that had regular jobs up until 2 years ago and now don't have anything. And cannot find... We're not talking about the guy who's unemployable, who's 60 and is not all there or whatever and should be in the Tinley thing, which was still open. We're talking about regular people are underneath these bridges. I mean, if the people in San Francisco, I mean, Maddie, you were out there not that long ago. Those guys, they're not... I mean, they might end up being druggies and things like that after a while. I don't think they started out that way. I think they start out just no place to live.
I think it's a mix. Well, but either way.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
Sometimes it's chicken and the egg. Sometimes you're homeless because you have a drug problem. Sometimes you start a drug problem because you're homeless.
But, I mean, what I'm saying, in 1982, you couldn't pull up with a van and expect those guys to go work a day somewhere. They were old. They could barely move. But now, if you showed up with a van underneath one of these bridges, you're probably going to get some takers, I think. I would hope so. The guys that I talk to seem like they're looking for a job. Anyway, Jan, good stuff. Well, I don't know if it's good stuff. We just talk about things that have to change. But anyway, we'll talk to you next week. SP Futures now down 30. NASDAQ Futures down 103. Come back with Mr. Mike Hart. Look at the volatility levels here. And we'll go through this Bitcoin thing. Does that collapse of Bitcoin last night? Of course, it only collapsed to where it was a week ago. Is that going to make a difference? I don't know. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-40- Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
So maybe that electronic jolt come from the right or the left? We had an electronic jolt in our system there for a second. Anyway, S&P futures down 33 now, which is the low I've seen them. S&P futures down 110, Dow futures down 221. Over in Europe.
Sorry, I'm back. What'd you say?
Was that electronic joke come from the right or the left?
That was interesting, wasn't it?
I think it was one of our, what do you think? The right or the left? Who's more pissed off at me now?
It's 50-50, judging by our time.
I know, I got everybody
going.
That's
actually a good thing.
Are you going to come into the middle with me so at least I have somebody in there that I can talk to?
The funny thing is I don't understand how anyone could identify with either one of these sides. They're both crazy to me. I just try to be as common sense as I can.
You got to find Mike Hardy.
Trust me, you'll never see me at any rally doing anything for anybody. And maybe that's a bad thing, but I'm just telling you.
Are we ready for a third party, you and me?
I don't want to be a part of any party.
Well, we sort of are. You're part of the no party if you're the no party.
I guess, yeah. Is an atheist a religion?
Pretty much.
I guess.
Do we have Mike Hart?
We do, but we got to do sports weather.
I know. I just got an email saying he was looking to call in. The DAX down 132 now, so that's more than it was before. It's a full 0.9%. FTSE down 61.9%, so they're leaking like we're leaking here. Tech around down 49.9%. Again, I don't normally give a Bitcoin number, but they were down $170 billion in value last night as a thing. Also, Johnson & Johnson has come out with a vaccine that appears to be just one shot, Manny. If that's the truth, that's a big step up, don't you think? If they got enough of it around, that'd be really nice. Because I really do believe, I'm not a big vaccine person, but I think this vaccine is researched and done properly. I sure as hell hope I'm not wrong on that. But Nikkei up six. Well, I'm sorry. Nikkei was up 648 on Friday. They're not open today. Shanghai down 38. That's a full 1%. Hang Seng up 30. That's 0.1%. The bonds, 10-year 1.10. Obviously, that's way up from the 0.79 it was 3 weeks ago. Percentage terms, anyway. The bund minus 0.52, which I guess is somewhat up higher from the minus 0.59, but still negative. Japan a positive 0.03. Oil down 31 cents, 51.93. Brent down 63 cents, 55.36. Natural gas down a nickel, 2.64. As our mild winter sort of continues. Arbob up $1.51. It's down 3 cents. Hey, did you see this? The amount of snow in Madrid and in Italy?
No.
They got like 3 feet of the record 100-year storm over there in snow. Good skiing, I guess, if you get up to the lifts. Gold up 370, 1838. Silver up 24 cents, 2488. Copper down 8 cents, 358. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Earlier crash on the Ryan at 71st Street is all clear, so no issues coming in from the south side, which is good news. Edens and Kennedy have been quiet all morning, so the expressways are looking good if you're heading in to downtown this morning. Only crash in the area is out in the western suburbs. Foster at Route 83, which is Bussey Road, there is a crash. But everything else quiet out there. Weather today, clouds early, cold temperatures with the wind chills will be in the low teens today. Could see some sunshine later on this afternoon, but a high of just 31. Right now it's cloudy and 23 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 67. Right now it's clear and 42. In sports, the Bears season is over. They lost in the wild card round of the playoffs yesterday in New Orleans, 21-9. Bears were down 7-3 at the half, but just couldn't get anything going on offense the entire game until a late, meaningless touchdown. So their season is over. Saints advance. Ravens topped the Titans 20-13, and it was the Browns upsetting the Steelers 48-37 to advance in the playoffs. NBA basketball, Bulls lost to the Clippers in a shootout, 130-127. College hoops, number 12, Illinois, was upset at home by Maryland, 66-63. It was Notre Dame losing at number 19, Virginia Tech, 77-63. Chief.
Maddie, hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing fantastic, Chief. How's it going this morning?
It's going good. I just want Maddie's assessment. I sort of asked him earlier. I don't know if I let him answer. What happened to the Steelers? They were all world. Were they 11-0?
They were 11-0, and then they finished, I think, 12-4, so they lost 4 out of 5 to finish the season, and then fell behind 28-0 yesterday before they knew what hit them. And then they actually played really well in the second half and stormed back, but they just spotted the Browns too many points and lost 48-37. I don't know exactly what happened to them. I know they had a lot of injuries, just like everyone does, but they had a very similar ride to Seattle, who, you know, if you watched football every week, first half of the season, Steelers and Seahawks were arguably, you know, two of the three or four favorites to make the Super Bowl. And then in the second half of the year, they just were kind of banged up. The defenses weren't the same, and they just weren't as good. And that the NFL is strange like that. We say it every year. I mean, you really need to be healthy, and sometimes that's your biggest asset is just health. The Bears were, you know, as bad as the Bears were in general, it didn't help that they were without half their roster yesterday either.
But I watched the Steelers a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, this is the team that was 11-0.
Yeah,
they had no running game. Mike, what do you make of this morning? We got the Bitcoin dropping like a rock here. Of course, it was up almost that much last week. So, we've got all the mess in Washington. We've got stimulus checks, and then Biden saying they're talking another 2,000 or 2,000 total, or I don't know if he's saying it, but people around him are. Let's put it this way. It's being said about him. I don't think he's said it yet. Trying to be clear on that. And we have the market, you know, kind of ratcheting up every day to records. And now today last Monday we were down huge and finished halfway back and then never looked back the rest of the week. So is it just another buy the dip opportunity or what are we doing here?
Well, I as far as opportunity goes, it's really a tough market. You know, the signals that we normally look for aren't in line. And let me give you an example. When you look at things like indices tend to move together. So you have S&P 500, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, Dow. If one index is up, say S&P 500, if you say S&P 500 is having a very strong day today, or Russell, IWM or RUT on the futures, if the Russell 2000 is having a very strong day, say it's up 4% like it was last week, you'd say, well, all the other indices, NASDAQ, S&P 500, Dow, they're all going to be up as well, because it's so unusual to see an indice that's doing really well, like one sector, when all the other indices, all the other sectors, or all the other market ETFs aren't doing as well. And what we saw last week, we hardly ever see, but we actually saw a closing price in percentage terms of the Russell closing up 4.1%, whereas the NASDAQ was down on the day, and down not just a little bit, but down 1.5%. This was last week. So the idea that things are normal this year is so far from the truth. This is an unusual occurrence. Actually, this is probably the largest magnitude that we've ever seen of a differential, but that being said, we've only seen the Russell up and the NASDAQ down on the day 13 times, and six of those times happened last year alone. So this is not a normal market. And I use correlations there as an indication of what I would say a normal market is. A normal market is when things fall in line and you see the normal movement that we'd expect to see. And what's normal movement? Well, you know, normal movement might be as simple as markets up, bonds are down. Just the typical things that we tend to see, the types of mechanics that we see in the market, just aren't holding up this year. And to me, that is just an indication of the type of year that we might be looking at, a year that's unlike any other trading year that we've seen before. So, you know, hold on tight, because anything can happen, and I would never get too comfortable in the sense that I would let risk get out of control and I'd go all in on anything, because the type of market action that we've been seeing lends itself to big moves that aren't supported by any of the normal things that we would see. So, you know, if we see a big rally, we might see a sell-off in something else that normally they move together.
Well, we have I'm in a spot now where I'm getting, a couple people call me for advice that are they're bringing in clients to their place. They have nothing to do with my place, but they would say that they'll call me and I'll say, "Man, these people are calling me. There'll be a stock that like doubled yesterday or something."
Right.
And they want to know why I wasn't in it, and I said, "Well, I don't even know what it is." He goes, "Neither do they." You know, it's reached the point, the expectations from the retail public now for a lot of, you know, is dramatic. I have somebody who wants me to say for your money management, I need 3% a month. I go, a month? Or do you mean a year? I mean, they're stone cold serious. And when we have the risk-free rate is what? A half of 1% or a third of 1% at the Fed? And then somebody thinks, I mean, yeah, these stocks are flying up. The momentum stuff, it wouldn't surprise me, Mike, that if you see the Russell running up one day, that everybody now has these, you know, quote machines that let you know what's up and what's down. And people just, what's down, they sell, and what's up, they go. I mean, you and I, right, literally, we could have a Trinidad turtle egg market, and people would buy it if it's going. I mean, look at, I don't want to get into a long discussion about Bitcoin, but let's put it this way. You'd have to really convince me that there's any value at all there, but it's going up. And if it's going up, it's going up. And then you get all these people on TV that appear to be rich guys that must have gotten in earlier that just talk it up every day. And away it goes. But I don't, is there anybody anywhere that can explain to me what the hell Bitcoin is that owns it?
I think it's hard. I think most people, they're still trying to put context around what Bitcoin actually represents. And, there's this sort of quasi idea that Bitcoin is in competition with gold, and maybe it's going to represent a new safe haven in the future. And that's sort of a storyline that's looking backwards, saying, well, why the hell is Bitcoin at $40,000? And they say, well, maybe people are treating it like gold, but then it goes down $5,000 this morning, and you say, well, that doesn't seem like gold. Gold is, not that volatile, and that's absolutely true. Sometimes we've seen gold that volatile, but it's extremely rare. It's not uncommon to see, you know, huge moves in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is still, I would call it a developing market in the sense that people don't really know what to make of Bitcoin because the connections that you make with things like gold. Gold is a very well-known tradable commodity, and the way it reacts to the market is pretty predictable in the sense that, you know, if there's a lot of fear in the market, meaning the market's going down really strongly, you tend to see appreciation in gold because gold is kind of represents that safe asset that you can move your money into that's going to stay relatively stable during times of uncertainty. I certainly, if the market was getting hammered to the downside, I certainly would rather be in gold. I'd rather be buying gold than buying Bitcoin, because Bitcoin doesn't have any of those established correlations. So, when you hear people on the news saying Bitcoin's got to go to 150,000 by the end of the year, I find that the most ridiculous blanket statement you could ever make. What are you basing that off of? Just market movement? Sure, it's moved to $40,000, but what is that? Why does that imply that it needs to go to $150,000? Where is the market logic behind that doesn't add up to me.
Well, if it's any sort of I hate to go into classical currency theory, but anything that's happening now that a market is anything other than classical theory, currency. Most people would say eventually reaches the value of its own value. In other words, if you had, and Mike, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it doesn't surprise me with what governments are doing to their currencies, which is essentially devaluing them by printing more, that somebody somewhere, especially with the tension between the U.S. and China and for a while with some of the oil countries, that somebody somewhere, some country or some person, wouldn't come up with an alternative way to transact business. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if I don't think Venezuela anywhere could do it, but say they could, that has, you know, 90 bazillion barrels of oil under storage, where they would say, okay, this 10 new dollars, 10 Venezuelan dollars represent, you know, 10 gallons of oil in their facility. So a dollar equals 1 gallon of oil. All right, so we can say that a Venezuelan dollar is now worth $44. And if all of a sudden the Chinese wanted to pay the Saudis for oil with Venezuelan oil dollars, that I can understand. Because at the end of the day, I can take my dollar and walk down to Venezuela and walk away with a gallon of crude oil. Not that I'd want to do that, but at least there's some basis. You know, in concentration camps, they use cigarettes because cigarette had a value for somebody to smoke. It wouldn't be to me. I never smoked. But for those guys, it did. So you can say, okay, a bottle of booze is worth 20 cigarettes. So with everything, once you figure out what your base currency is worth, then you relatively can price everything else, correct?
Mm-hmm. And, that's correct, yep.
You know, if a Chevy costs $4,000, well, guess what? A Cadillac $6,000, right? It's worth 50% more than a Chevy back in the day. So, but the idea that you just have this thing that runs up that people bid on, that to me is more like tulips. Right, in what is it, the 1600s or 1700s, whatever it was, where people just bid on tulips because there's nothing you can really do with a tulip other than I guess you could put it in the ground and look at it, but I mean there's a very minimal value to a tulip, right?
Right, and that's just it. The connections aren't there.
No,
there aren't connections with Bitcoin. The only connections that I could find, and you know, I ran the correlation on Bitcoin to everything, and it comes up basically there. It comes up basically it's not related to, you know, the market movement. It's not related to gold movement. It's not related to all the things that they're saying it's related to. When you look at correlations, the number falls near zero, which means it's not correlated. That is the problem. Is you're absolutely right. It's acting like the tulip market where it's just speculation on one thing. The only thing I can find this is related to is other Bitcoin or other types of coins.
Right.
So Ether, it's related to the other coins. So you can trade them off of those, but still you're in the Bitcoin realm, and you're not doing the the cross between Venezuela dollars and gallons of oils. You're still not putting apples to apples by just comparing it to other Bitcoins.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Osage. If you just say what I said about Bitcoin to anybody who even has a shred of, say, ideas of what Bitcoin's all about, what's the first thing they're going to say to you?
When they look at what Bitcoin's doing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first thing they're going to say is, they're going to say, well, you know, look at the market action. Look at what the price is doing. And, market's going up, Bitcoin's going up. And, you know, obviously it's positively correlated, but then I look at a day like today, and, you know, well, that theory is not so entirely true. The market's down 25 points, and Bitcoin's down 5,000. I think the idea that there is this connection is out there because, if anyone with a shred of knowledge about this would even just look at the correlations and realize, like, this thing isn't operating within the normal realm of tradable instruments that we usually trade, then I think they'd be careful about putting predictions of, I think Goldman Sachs came out with a prediction well over $100,000. I mean, predictions are just that, predictions, but the idea of pegging these prices so high seems to just be playing off of current market trends and not having any real support for the idea of why it's going there. Well, but I think you had a different idea of what the first thing
thing that anybody will say to me is, well, the fiat currencies don't have anything behind them either. It's sort of like when you were a kid, I want to come home at 12 o'clock because Johnny can. It's sort of they have a point. They're not wrong. And I think the people who should be part of this conversation we're having this morning are not individually buffoons, because they're not, are collective buffoons. Trump's still president. Trump, Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell, and Powell should be sitting in a room listening to us, because they are pushing our dollar to be worth nothing. And,
that's right.
And they are causing the Bitcoin phenomenon without knowing it. They may be smart enough to know it. They probably are. They are causing it. As I'm going to look right here, what do you suppose, I like doing this even though I know it's all so damn unfair, it's scary. You and Maddie, what is the dollar to gold ratio in 1913 versus now?
Wow. I couldn't even really throw out a number because I'm still trying to compute.
Well, the pin number for the first one should be easy, because the pin number for gold for dollars was $35 an ounce forever until we went off the gold standard.
Because Charles
de Gaulle used to piss us off, and he'd send a ship over. I don't think he trusted airplanes. He'd send a ship over with a bunch of dollars on it and demand the gold and take the gold back to France. That's why we're so pissed off at De Gaulle, like in the 60s, because we went off the gold standard essentially to pay for the Vietnam War. We were on the gold standard like most countries were on it, and the minute you couldn't adhere to it, you jump off it. Guess what the dollar to gold ratio is now? Now, this is $28.71 per ounce in 1913. What do you think it is now?
Wow, you're going to have to tell me. I'm drawing a blank.
33,800. So anybody, if I give my long spiel, a hopefully intelligent spiel about Bitcoin being worth nothing, somebody says to me, hey, at $33 an ounce for gold, what's your dollar worth now? Who's your messiah now, as it said in the movie? I don't know that if that number goes to 50,000 or 60,000 and it becomes even more... I don't know that Bitcoin, I don't think, is the answer, but maybe the Venezuelan oil, or at least I know what I get for my buck, there'll be something other than dollars when we reach that stage, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I think you're right as far as, when you don't have, that's sort of the beginning of my conversation with you is, you can't you can't value something that you can't place, you can't really put something behind it and say, well, here's a baseline for this. And that seems to be the problem with Bitcoin right now, is you can't baseline Bitcoin, and it's the market moves don't make, you know, a $5,000 move in Bitcoin's a massive move. I don't know what percentage that is, but, you know, it's
well, 40 to 35 is 1/8, so what would that be? 12%?
20%. Yeah. It's a big move.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just one day. So, you know, these aren't moving like currencies, that's for sure. So, you know, you got to remember Bitcoin just, I mean, relatively recently, maybe it was a year and a half ago, we just saw futures being traded on Bitcoin. That started to add some stability. I mean, when Bitcoin was just traded on these, you know, Bitcoin exchanges and stuff, this thing didn't have a chance of ever becoming
tradable. We got to dash it, but I have one question. Is anybody margining somebody's? I know we wouldn't. You can't buy, you know, a PTI or an exchange. Is anybody I mean, are you ponying up the full 40 grand for Bitcoin, or is somebody margining?
A lot of times. Some firms are margining these a little bit, but for the most part, you're paying 40 grand to, you know.
Wow.
You're putting up the full margin. Because, you know, that's a great, we'll talk about this tomorrow because I'll be back.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you tomorrow. SP Futures up, down 34. There's the Futures down 117. We'll be back tomorrow with Mike. Talk all about it. Maddie, thank you. I'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.